all my niggas hit that zip, and all my ladies bout that bitch. This my jam.
Welcome back to Behind the Cage. You're here with the boys. We're here for another episode. We're just pumping them out these days. It's been good. We've been at a 10 a.m. practice grind, getting into the flow of things, and I can say that I'm enjoying it. I'm liking it.
I am, and I'm really excited for this special episode. The episode we never done before.
This is a very special episode. We have our first guest appearance, actually. We thought pretty hard about guests we want.
Yes.
We had some people fighting over who would be the first guest.
Basically, everybody was fighting on.
I got a DM from someone who's pretty upset that they're not the first guest. So we'll get everyone on eventually. I think we're gonna film.
Not everyone, obviously. Thing,
not everyone, because we don't like everyone, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
And not everyone's cool, but we will get that specific person on this upcoming week. And he will be the next episode. But go ahead and introduce our guest.
Okay, let's start. I'm proud and honored to introduce the Boston Bruins draft pick. As you can see, I have a sweatshirt. Finalist of Walter Brown Award. I don't even know what it is, but he's finalist. Earned every possible weekly and monthly award you can name in Hockey East. Bronze medalist in World Juniors. But most importantly, the first goalie of the Maine Black Bears. Welcome, Jeremy Swayman.
Our first
Jeremy,
guest.
Come in.
Jeremy, come in. Okay, we got him. He's here. Hold on one sec. You come in and pop a seat in the middle.
The best seat in the house.
Just don't hit any of the wires or anything. It's
no worries.
It's a very fragile
studio. Oh.
Yeah. Or bang everything. No people sneaking in. So,
Jeremy, how are you doing, man? It's good to finally meet. Well, we met downstairs, but it's good to see you. Good to have you in the studio. We've been discussing this one for a minute, trying to get you on. Like I was saying earlier, to the people, we haven't really been able to reach out with you, whether it's your on your end or our end, or if it's Cindy's fault. But obviously Cindy's back there, but we finally got.
Looks good.
Yeah. Okay, we're in business. Sorry, I didn't mean to be rude. Yeah, we have Clementine. Sorry. Oh, shit. Please take one.
Appreciate
it. Take a Clementine. I just
vitamin C.
Get the water going.
Of course, complimentary waters. This is a good time to run and just announce our sponsors. And if you didn't know, we are sponsored by water.
Nice, yeah.
Yes,
and a new one would be Clementines.
Yes.
They're very nice.
Eggs, obviously.
Eggs,
grade A
of course. Eggs. And electrolytes. So, still working on some. Got dumped by a few stupid reasons.
Yeah, nothing. Their loss. Their loss.
Yeah. Anyways,
it's all this vegan thing. We got dumped because we got we became vegan, dude.
Well, that's
talk
the
about
problem.
Vegan already. All right.
Yeah,
should we dive into that first?
I think we should.
Why not? Right.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy, you watched the Netflix documentary, and turns out you chose to be a vegan, and you've been trying to convince me. I haven't watched the documentary yet, but explain to me why you went vegan.
I mean, to be honest, I'm not 100% vegan. I just want to clarify that right now. I'm doing my best. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing that attracted me about that documentary was just, you know, how a lot of athletes now, they're getting into different dietary programs, and obviously training's pretty crucial for them. And after I watched it, I mean, I was swayed. I'll be honest. I was fully committed to going vegan, like 100%. Yeah, like I was about it. And so that week after I watched it, I didn't have a lick of meat, anything from an animal or anything. It was just all plant based. And
really,
I'll be honest. I did feel a difference. Like I felt pretty light. Literally, like I lost like 9 pounds in a week and a half. Yeah, but I wasn't like skinny. You know, I felt fine still. I didn't feel like fatigued or anything. But I also knew at the same time, like, this, I can't really keep this up or else I might still lose weight.
So
but that's also because I was a beginner. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. It's 100%.
You know, you don't know all the ins and outs.
Right.
You were beefy without the beef. You were still beefy, like, muscular, but you didn't eat beef. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Does anything change in preparation of food or how you prepare food, how you go to grocery store, obviously, and pick food and stuff like that? Obviously, like, products change, right? You have to, like, get a new, not even routine, but, you know, pick new products to eat, right?
Yeah, 100%. I think the biggest thing for me was just finding a different source of protein.
Yeah.
And I know that's the biggest complaint with athletes especially. It's just like, where are you going to get your protein if you're not eating a steak kind of thing? And that's the thing that the documentary and my research, like, that's what it screamed out the most, is like, you don't need a big piece of red meat in order to get your protein. Like, and so just finding supplemental facts or supplemental things to give you that protein. So that was like different legumes, like, that's a good word, eh?
Legumes. What is it?
Legume is a legume. Legume. Like a bean. Peanut beans. Is a legume. I know you're not able to eat those.
We'll
sorry about
that.
That's tough. Kind of close to home, but
let's talk about that.
But yeah, like black beans, garbanzo beans.
We're big beans guys now.
Yeah,
we're actually no brainer. We're big health freaks. We've been on healthy
lately
for what, last week. A week now, right? Yeah. We haven't had ice cream in like a week,
which we have had for every week past semester.
So that's a lot of tubs of ice cream.
It is, dude.
A lot.
We had a lot.
I feel better now, though.
I feel faster. I feel good, healthy. We did have Chick-fil-A though.
Score two goals, not a big deal.
I think it's because of the mm-hmm. because of the diet for sure.
100%.
Definitely. And then I'll have to think about being vegan. I don't know. I'll have to watch that. We're going to make a documentary about it.
Oh yeah. You'll be in there too.
If we're becoming vegan, it's actually going to be called Becoming Vegan. if we're going for it, then we're going to include you, and you would be the sole purpose of why. Yeah, that's going to be a fun little.
Because you've been already vegan for a month and a half, right? And
well, it was honestly, it was before Christmas, so I don't know, it was like the UMass Lowell weekend. Pretty early, but.
That is.
I definitely feel like I've completely changed my diet. 100%.
Do you feel like a new person?
I mean, I've noticed differences, whether that's like in ice, like on the ice, like third period, I'm not as fatigued.
Really? So you're actually thinking like. Energizes you more, like gives you better cardio, because I know it says that people have talked about that in the documentary.
Maybe it's a mind thing, but I do. Yeah, do. I feel really good.
So that's why like Chara goes. Chara is a full vegan now.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, he's got access to a lot of.
Did you talk to him? Little Bruins connection.
No.
Chara,
well, Jeremy, no, but he might have.
That's what I mean. Nah. Zdeno.
Not yet.
Shout out Zdeno.
maybe this year after the season.
Yes,
you
maybe.
Never know.
You never know. You never know.
I met Big Z once. It was at development camp, and I shook his hand and. It was like
big mitts or
completely
what?
Completely engulfed my hand. I didn't know what to do in the handshake. Like, I wanted to grip, but then it was like pointless for me to grip. It was cool. Super good guy. And
it just went all around. Like,
I was like, ah.
He uses right. like two that. Fingers and just
yeah,
shakes
I just
your
felt
hand.
Really vulnerable. But no, he's obviously had a really successful career.
He's a class act too. Everyone loves Z. He's a beaut. We wanted to dive in really to you because you're a pretty unique story. There's not many. Hockey players that come out of Alaska. You happen to be one of them. I know Scotty Gomez is one of them.
Yeah.
Could you name a few others for us? Because I just know
Scotty. Yeah, no. Pretty small pool. Brandon Dubinsky. Joey Crabb.
Okay.
Just guys that have had stints in the NHL, but not...
Nothing major?
Major careers, but yeah, no, it's definitely a small pool, but obviously Gomez takes the crown on that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously it's... So you're fighting the odds there, but I mean,
I
that's good.
That.
But no, we want to know though, like growing up in Alaska, how was like the youth hockey? Was it competitive? Did you always feel like you were ahead of the crowd? Did you feel like you were better than people? Explain that a little bit, like how that worked.
Yeah. No, I think the youth hockey scene was pretty good in my years, at least. It only changed until like. We just got into high school. Guys started leaving to go to different AAA programs. Sure. I mean, I know I had a bunch of buddies leave super early, as early as freshman year, to go, you know, play in different boarding schools like Shattuck St. Mary's. I know we got Eddie Lindelow there. Yeah, he likes to talk about that a little bit. But so, yeah, Shattuck's. But I mean, different programs, and I was one of them that decided to stay and try to develop as much as I can without leaving home. So yeah, I was definitely one of the last ones. I always played up in my career, like in in levels too. So I was younger, and I was playing at 2-3 years age groups older than me. So that helped me a lot, especially as a goalie, seeing harder shots. And then yeah, just things kind of started working out. My U16 year was a big year. I played for the Alaska Oilers, and that was started by Merritt Waldrop. Shout out to him. Good guy. He's helped me in my career.
What's his name?
Merritt Waldrop.
Good
Merritt
guy.
Waldrop. Yeah, he's a special person in my hockey career. Yeah. But yeah, so he started that organization, and just basically for the guys like me that didn't want to leave and knew that there was still some talent and some things to be done in Alaska. And so we had a lot of travel teams. So we were traveling. I mean, that was hectic for us. 4 or 5 trips a season, especially from Alaska. So it's a minimum of 4 hour, 5 hour flight.
In the States, against teams in the States or Canada?
Yeah, a lot of, we did a couple Canadian trips. We did any showcases. So like the, you know, the tier one elite showcases, stuff like that.
Good stuff.
Chicago trips, LA trips. Yeah. So we didn't go East Coast too much. So I was pretty, pretty wild story how I got here, but I'm sure we'll get into that.
Yeah. Well, I want to know, how long did you stay in Alaska playing hockey?
Till my U16 year. I left my U18 year.
And that's when you went to the USHL? Or did you play?
No, so kind of shaky story on that. I went to Colorado. Okay. Colorado Springs, played for the Pikes Peak Miners.
How did that come up? Like, how did you just decide, or someone invited you, and connections, maybe?
Definitely connections. Definitely connections. Mm-hmm. I tendered to the Kenai Brown Bears in the NAHL, my U16 year out of Alaska, and I was pretty confident that I was going to play for them that next year, being like a really young, like 16 year old, and ended up getting cut.
Actually, someone asked that
main
question.
Camp. Yeah.
Oh.
You, how did
even Jeremy Swayman got cut?
This is good, because then it shows, like, even if you get cut, if you keep pushing forward, you can get to where you want to be.
Exactly.
Someone asked that. I put an Instagram poll out for questions, and someone actually wanted to know what it was like getting cut. Do you want to talk about your mindset?
100%.
Yeah,
no,
I think that's good.
Also, you were younger, right? Your mental state wasn't there. 100%. So I guess any time you get cut, it kind of hurts, right? Because for me, at least, it would hurt for me, and for me disappointing my, let's say, parents when I was younger, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You nailed it. And looking back on it now, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, being cut. You know, I never really wanted to get cut, but at the time it sucked. But again, looking back on it, I know in the exit interview with the coach, he even said, Sway, we want you to go get, you know, some development at U18. And I guarantee by the time you develop, you're going to surpass the NAHL and go to the USHL probably. Sure. And I looked at him and like cross-eyed. I'm like, no way. Like,
yeah.
I think this is the best decision for me. Like staying home, U18 year. I mean, playing junior super young, going to get a lot of shots and playing time. And so I just left that, you know, that meeting saying, I'm never going to get cut again. Like, I don't want that to ever happen again.
So you took it well.
Obviously.
Down? Like, were you pretty, like, down in the dumps, or was your attitude just like, fuck these guys, I can be good enough?
Yeah, no, streaming tears. Like, I was pretty pissed. I was, like, really upset.
Rightfully
my dad, he's so much time and effort, and to see him, you know, sad that I didn't make a team was pretty upsetting to me. And again, so, I mean, looking back on it, like, it couldn't have been better. So I had this connection. A lot of Alaska players went and played for this team in Colorado. I've never heard of them before. And it was really just my last hurrah because I wanted to face the truth. Like, if I didn't make it before, at least in its junior hockey, before I'm like 18, 20 years old, I don't think, you know, this is going to be a realistic dream of mine.
Yeah.
And my dad was pretty upfront about that too. So it was definitely, pressure was on a little bit, but I think the way that I took the pressure was good for me. And I went into play for Colorado Springs for the Pikes Peak Miners with a mindset of just winning and not taking no for an answer. And so the coach there, by far one of the best coaches I've ever played for, Greg Vanover, and my billet family there was just lights out. Just took me in as one of their own, and the Nolets, they were amazing. I'm still great friends with them to this day. And it was just a really perfect situation, and went through that year just determined to win the day kind of thing, having that mindset. And that's where I learned the true value of like leadership, teamwork, and just all this different stuff that I carried on through my career to this point. And year went well and ended up getting drafted by the Stampede in the USHL draft. Yeah.
Now, is the Billets, is those the people we meet? Or we've
those,
seen here?
No, it's not, sadly. I'm sure they'll make it out. My real Billets will make it out. But yeah, Patty and Kirby, they're
in the USHL.
They are great too.
they're good. Adopted family.
Billets come hang out with us sometimes after.
Speaking of that, of you getting cut and all the other things, like, it just shows how, I remember we talked in previous podcasts about, like, that there's a step you have to, you know, like, go step by step. You shouldn't skip a step, you know? And that, as you said, it was great for you to get cut and, you know, take one more year of development in midget U18, right? Was it U18 or something like that in Colorado, right?
U18.
Yeah. So, even if you get cut and don't try to, like, you know, go jump in an NA or juniors or anywhere, right? Just take it step by step. And at the end of the day, like, Jeremy right now, he's in a great spot. So,
yeah, I think a quote from actually my uncle that I liked was,
like him anymore?
No, the quote.
I liked the quote. I still like the quote. I like my uncle. He's a good dude. Yeah, it's Mr. Glass. Not that uncle.
Oh, okay.
Actually, he's coming back for the Northeastern weekend.
Yeah, he's excited.
He says we're gonna have a good time.
We will.
He's a beaut. No, but my uncle, Mr. Glass's dad, actually.
Oh, really?
He wrote them like a little, whatever, like one Christmas, kind of inspirational, and he had a quote. It was like, "You can never fail. You can only win or learn." So I feel like when you're cut, you didn't take it as a failure. Mm. You just took it as a learning curve, and then you moved on. You got better from it. Where a lot of people might get cut from something like that, especially being from Alaska, where the odds aren't really with you of going like Division I, say. So like you could have took that and you're like, "Fuck, I got cut," called it. But instead, you went back, you got to work, and fucking got to where you wanted to be. So, I mean, that's a little inspirational.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was
I'm ready to run through the wall right now.
Like,
what are we doing?
Absolutely.
No,
shout out to Uncle Glass.
Uncle Glass. Mr. Glass is his nickname because he works for Solar Company.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the Glass. He's
Mr.
Good
Glass.
He's good at what he
dad?
Does. Mr. Glass is the solar, and Mr. Glass's dad is Uncle Glass, or in his case, Daddy Glass. He's a good guy. That's not the point, but I like that quote a lot.
I thought that was
fitting there. But so after, I thought this was funny too. We almost were teammates for a second.
This
must have been after or during your year in Colorado.
I was after juniors when I got cut. I was looking for a team.
Oh,
like,
so it was right after.
Yeah,
juniors.
I was looking for a team. You have no idea. Like, I was like, I don't have a team to play for because there's no team in Alaska.
Okay.
There was not a U18 team in Alaska to play for.
Oh, really?
There was nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was. So I must have been going into my senior year at Kimball Union, and when I was talking to my coach, we had had some goalie problems for whatever reason, and we were like, "Oh, like, do we have a goalie coming in too?" And he was like, "Yeah, you know, I was gonna do his voice. I'm gonna do. I'll do his
voice."
Just
he
was like, "Yeah, you know, we got a goalie from Alaska."
Wow.
It's Tim Whitehead. He used to coach at Maine. Actually, he's a very good coach. Nothing but good things to say about him. But he was talking about this goalie from Alaska that was really good. Kind of flew under the radar a bit. I didn't know who the hell it was. And then, like, I kind of thought about it years later when we were here, and I was like, "Hold on, Sway, were you talking about Kimball Union?" But yeah, he turned us down.
No.
Wow,
dude, we weren't good enough. We weren't good enough. Do you still have his number in there?
I feel like I do.
His name's Tim.
That's actually funny, dude. I mean, obviously, if he was there,
check Tim. Tim Whitehead.
Tim Whitehead. Yeah. I got his number. Right. We'll give him a call right now.
Yeah, we'll call him for the
call. So how did that come up? Like, did you like go on somewhere and try to search for a team or email somebody? to like how did Tim know about you?
Right. I do this, like, we have a skate in the summer. It's like pro league, pro skate kind of thing. All the guys that play juniors, college and pros come back and do like a summer skate, and I was skating with them, and I just told the guys, I'm like, where are you playing next year? I'm like, I don't really know. Like, I don't have a place to play. And there's two Alaskans, I think, that went to Kimball Union.
I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, and they're twins. They're the twins or something. Or one of the twins went.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, I should call my coach and see if they can get you a spot. And then, yeah, just talked to him, a couple calls. But, again,
he's a good guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
I mean, obviously, your path worked out regardless. So, like, skipping the prep school didn't hurt you, although offended me at the time. I was like, oh, this Alaskan thinks he's too cool for school, quite literally. But yeah, I thought that was a funny little connection.
Yeah, it is wild how small of a world it is, man. Everyone needs
it.
It is. After your Colorado year, so you said you got drafted to the USHL, the Stampede.
Stampede, yeah.
So you moved on there. Was it... You were not, probably weren't on, like, the radar of an NHL draft list at that time, right?
No.
And so was it, when did you commit to Maine that year?
Yeah. After
so that was
showcase.
Before any, you were drafted.
Right.
Or did you have any talks before you were committed with NHL, with the Bruins? Really?
No.
So it kind of, in a way, put you on the map?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I knew... Going to the USHL, I was like, I mean, I feel like I'm going to be the only kid that's not committed, like, going to be on this team.
That's how I felt, too.
Yeah. And so, again, I mean, I went to the showcase, and that was, like, the coolest thing. Just the stands were packed, and they were all scouts. Like, it was, like, easily by far the most scouts I've ever played in front of my life. And going into it, I knew there was going to be a serious opportunity to get exposure. And, again, growing up from Alaska, you don't really get that exposure.
Yeah, for sure.
So you definitely want to make the opportunities count when you do get that kind of exposure. So my kind of family advisor was telling me that Maine was interested and they were going to come to my games and talk to me after the showcase, and the rest is history. So
was it Alfie? Was he there yet?
No, so I never met Alfie before I committed, actually.
Okay.
I FaceTimed him.
Who saw you? Was it Leechy?
Leechy.
Leechy is a beauty. For those who don't know, Jay Leech had a pretty great coaching career. I think the most notable one that comes to the top of my head was that he was the assistant coach for the Washington Capitals with a young Ovechkin. Ran the power play there, actually, with Ovechkin, so he had a lot of interaction there. Ended up joining Maine. I think he recruited the three of us.
Yeah.
But he's older, a little bit older now, has some whatever reasons, and he ended up retiring from coaching. But, yeah, he's a great guy. Obviously, saw you. But we were discussing.
That's a great thing he saw you.
Yeah, it's a great thing. He's got a good eye for talent, actually. He recruited a lot of good players here.
What showcase was this for those who want to know where to go to get recruited?
Well, no, it was the USHL showcase.
Oh, USHL showcase.
Fall Classic.
Oh, yeah.
So it was in Omaha.
It's like before every year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we played two or three games.
Did you have a... Fuck, sorry. This happens. Did you have any funny interaction with Leechy when he was recruiting you? Because I think that's usually a definite...
There's a couple of stories I've heard.
Let's give a few stories.
I mean, not really. I think... Well, Leechy heard that I was pretty outdoorsy somehow under the radar, like... He heard it too, and they knew that I obviously grew up in, like, the greatest wilderness in the world. Like, I know all about it. And so part of their, like, the whole conversation, I don't think we talked about hockey at all in the locker room. It was just about the great hiking trails, the fishing that Maine has to offer.
Unbelievable.
And I was like, all right, I'm in love. Like, this is great. And then they're like, okay, our hockey's pretty good too. So I was like, all right, this is cool. Okay. And, the cords, yeah.
The cords?
And, so, I mean, Leechy, really personable guy, obviously, but...
Yeah, he loves his outdoor shit. the time that pops into my head was when I was in high school playing in, like, a fall Labor Day tournament. And Neil, at the time, my brother, was committed to Maine as well, and he had just committed. So I saw Leechy in the parking lot, like walking out, and he gives his whole like, "Oh, you gotta see my gun. I'm going hunting." Like he pulls, he opens the trunk, and he's got a big gun there, showing us that he loves his outdoors. Oh, yeah.
Is that legal?
You know what? I don't know. He has his license. He has his license. He does what he needs to do. But me and Neil are standing there, and he comes out to me. Well, he introduces himself to Neil. So in my head, I'm kind of like, he might not know that this is Neil.
Yeah.
And then he goes, like a few minutes ago, and he's like, "Hey, I saw your brother last night. He's playing." And I was like, "Neil." And he's like, "Yeah, yeah. How's he doing? I'm like, "He's right here." He's like, "Oh shit, sorry." So apparently, like that's just
it's a great classic impression, by the way. It's like spot on, man. That was good.
That's classic Leechy. I don't know if do you have any good Leechy story?
He's I don't know. You see, like. Guy. Not really, because when I committed, I was so nervous to talk to him, and then it was him and Coach Ben that recruited me, and it wasn't really like I can't really remember because I was nervous, so I couldn't really tell if there was something funny. But if I would know him back then, I would probably think something funny about him. But no, I mean, great coach. Unfortunately, me and Sway didn't get to experience him, but yeah, I hope he's fine right now. So
for sure,
yeah.
And he comes to a lot of our games.
Yeah, he does. He's sneaky.
I've seen him plenty of times. And
actually, last time I saw, I had lunch with him quick in the springtime. He's doing well. Classic, just classic Leechy. Yeah, he's a good dude.
Just hunting, you know.
Doing his thing.
Like one of the funniest stories I heard about him was I don't know who it was. I think it was one of the seniors. It was like hammy or something, and apparently like Leechy thought that he wanted to be an engineer, and so he brought hammy or I don't know who it was, but brought
one. Did they all bring to the engineer building?
Yeah, the engineer building.
Yeah,
he does that. He did it to me too.
Oh, no, really?
He does it to everybody.
I didn't get the engineer.
I think
I didn't get the engineer.
No, you haven't. Me and did he give you the tour on campus? Did he walk you around?
No, I think it was Geeter. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so that's the difference. Me and Smitty were dying.
No, but I went with Geeter, and Geeter showed me around.
I knew Smitty actually. Yeah.
Me and Smitty were dying because he on both of our tours we found out he took us first to the engineer building. And then he took us through the baseball, their clubhouse.
Yeah.
So, like, walked in the clubhouse. He just walks in, and there's, like, baseball players, like, laying on the couch. And I'm introducing myself to baseball players. I'm like, why am I seeing the baseball clubhouse? He just did what he wanted to do.
Then you had to, like, put the helmet on, too, and walk around.
In the baseball?
No, in the engineering building.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was cool, to be honest with you. It is like, cool. After that, I was like, you know what? I might want to be an engineer. It was like, cool. What would they have? Windmills. They have like this pool, this cool-ass pool. Some NASA projects that they were talking about. Like basically everything. I mean, it is really cool, but until you get there, like to actually make stuff, you gotta be like really smart.
Yeah.
Because you have to do like three maths and stuff. Oh, yeah, it's pretty smart. Pretty smart.
I heard Patty was trying to get you to become an engineer that one time. Bill,
we were talking about it. Not one time. He still calls me. And he's like, are you an engineer yet or no?
That's a lot of commitment to be an engineer.
Yeah, it is.
And hockey player.
If I didn't have hockey, maybe I would try it out.
Guys, yeah. Guys on our team have done it. You could try it.
They are also pretty smart. Well, not pretty smart. It's more of like they're not lazy, you know. And yeah, I sometimes
committed.
Get lazy when
they're very committed to school. You have
to. Yeah, I have to do a four-page journal until tomorrow.
You have to love
but,
it.
But you finished it. Yeah, great. Good for you.
dude. Yeah, not for me either. I'm not about it. But actually, should we give? I could give one more Leechy story if we want, but what? Not my story, but apparently, you know how he's deaf in one of his ears.
Oh yes, I heard that.
So he has one good ear, one that's just like not at all.
Yeah.
So like, I guess he'll like go into the office and he'd answer the phone and be like, "Hello," and he'd be like, "No one's here." He'd like hang up the phone and then it would ring again. He'd be like, "Hello." And he'd start like yelling at the phone, and Shannon would be like, "Jay, wrong ear."
Yeah, no,
he would have the phone in the wrong ear. No. Allegedly, that's good. But let's get back.
Yeah, where did we stop?
It was when Michi was recruiting you.
That's right.
So we were talking the other day about how, because you ended up being like, I think, was it fourth round draft pick?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty high draft pick. And so we would imagine like you had a lot of options, but at the time you weren't on the radar yet. But we wanted to know like what made you choose Maine.
Mm-hmm.
So what about maybe if it was Leech or Alfie?
Well,
whatever.
Obviously you said outdoors is one of them, right?
Outdoorsy,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, outdoors. And I mean, I knew I was talking to other schools, and a lot of them were great recruiters. I mean, like, hats off to everyone. They know what they're doing, and I definitely felt a difference though. You know, when I was talking to Red, talking to Geeter, talking to Alfie, talking to Leechy, and it was just a genuine, I don't know, it's just some kind of feel. It's just like they knew that, like, I knew right away they were there for my development.
Yeah.
And they knew what they were doing. They had plenty of experience.
Yeah.
And they've completely showed me that they have with my 2.5 years here so far. So I'm happy as could be, man. I'm so happy to be here. And obviously, met the boys, met these two guys. It's just like everything's so great.
Then we became the hot tub crew.
That's right, yeah. The hot tub crew.
haven't done that in a while, but
it's been a while. Yeah.
It has been a minute actually since. Yeah, maybe. Well, game night, we don't usually.
Murray did offer. I was like, game night. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I'm not big on game night.
Monday squad.
Yeah, maybe Monday squad for right now. That's a good thing. We hit the rec center, hit the tub, scrub it up a little bit. You know,
sauna.
Soak in the sauna,
yeah.
Sweat,
weight
cut, all the good stuff.
Yeah.
But that's cool though. Like, they went through with their word. I mean, you're looking for that, obviously.
100%.
It's like, yeah, it was. They just felt like they genuinely cared about what you were doing, like about you and your development. So that was like, kind of sold you. And then you went on, and that year you got drafted before coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
Yeah.
How was that experience? We talked about our like development camp experiences, so we could talk about yours.
For
like,
sure, yeah.
Were you at the draft?
No, I wasn't at the draft. I knew there was rumbling. I mean, as the year went on, I definitely started to know, like, obviously the Central Scouting came out and stuff.
Did you talk to a lot of teams? Like, you know, our viewers, listeners, they want to know, like, how does that happen? Like, did you, like, talk to a lot of teams? Did you, like, think that you will get drafted? Did you know? What were teams saying and stuff like that?
Yeah, I talked to quite a few teams, but definitely not all of them. You know, I wasn't the most popular kid on the team by any means. Like draft wise, like guys in the guys team were talking every day to scouts.
Yeah.
It seemed like so, I know I knew there was definite interest, and it was pretty cool to see like how the Central Scouting rankings worked. It kind of went up every other month, and just kind of creeping up and kind of being in the conversation. But again, still under that radar.
Were you on the list?
Yeah, I was. I was on the list, like,
just not super high on it.
No, I think I was ended up like 14 or 12, something like that. I don't know. It might be a lot worse than that. Maybe I think it was that, so I wasn't the top prospect by any means. But again, it was cool just knowing that, you know, I'm in that mix kind of, and basically just talking to guys that have been to the draft and that did get drafted. They all kind of said, like, I mean, it's just a hit or miss. And you know, if you go, it's great. If you don't, and you don't get drafted, it's the worst kind of thing. So it's like coming from Alaska all the way, I think it was in.
That would have been something if you didn't.
Exactly, yeah.
We talked about that. Right? Like, if you're not like told you're going like top two rounds. Like,
top three usually.
Yeah. And that was consensus. Yeah.
If they would
I knew.
Tell you, like, I feel like if they're not telling you, then I'd be
It's like, like everybody is just like all the teams are like if one team tells you, oh, we might draft you within three rounds, it's like,
if
like there's like a couple teams are like, okay, you know what, we're gonna draft you. Like, I guess you should know, but I mean, still, round four is pretty high round. You know what I mean? And I remember playing you in Sioux Falls. You didn't really have a great team right that year, but you still like showed that you are one of the best goaltenders in the league, right?
Thank you.
So
I appreciate that.
That is a nice call.
That's not true.
But no, I mean. you know, like maybe that helped you as well, right? Facing a lot of shots, 100%. Stuff like that. Also, right before you got drafted, did you get a call from Boston before they drafted you or after they drafted you?
No calls.
Were you following the draft also?
Yeah, so it was like, I was 4 hours behind, so it was like 6 a.m. my time. So I was up early. Really? I was up early on the computer, just kind of eating breakfast.
Hoping for the first round, you never know.
Yeah, right. No, I was just kind of watching and I was watching the teams that I was talking to and what they were doing too. So I was like kind of getting a feel like, all right, they haven't drafted a goalie yet. This is good. And just out of left field, I get a text, hey, congrats, you're at Bruin. And it was from one of my buddies that was at the draft.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I'm like, no way. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
And then my phone was just off the chain for the rest of the day.
Hell yeah.
Like, just constant.
What like feeling did you get when you, was it like a little like disbelief kind of?
100%. Yeah. I was like, no way. Because my computer was lagged. Yeah. And I didn't even know like the Bruins went yet. And I was like, I can't see. I was like on Twitter and stuff. And then all of a sudden it just like showed up. And I was like, holy cow, this is real. Like, this is legit.
Yeah, it's unreal.
And I mean, you really can't put it into words. I mean, it's really cool. Just would never like picture your name being up on the draft board. Just...
Yeah. It's like part of a dream come true.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's how I like described it.
But you quickly learn like it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Until you start doing something about it.
We're all in the same place.
Yeah, so you definitely gotta keep grounded, like doesn't mean anything. And...
But it's cool. It's a cool like feeling to have, and
it is really cool.
Yeah, it is cool to get drafted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you've been to 3 NHL camps, so
essentially
we're all in the same position here. Like, we go to college, we're Division I players, like, yeah, and that's
maybe it's even cooler to be a suitcase and go and experience different
you
teams.
Have
you get apparel to the
one of the biggest, like, because I was a big very iffy if I was going to get drafted, so my dad explained like the how it's almost better in a way sometimes if you're not drafted and you know like you're gonna go play D1 and be successful, because then you have 32 teams now.
They just approved the Seattle deal,
so is it
33? Yeah. Well, right, 31 now. Right now, but so it's about to be 32.
Yeah, 32 teams that might like you after you show what you can do in college.
Sure. No, yeah, for sure. And I've been saying that in podcasts before. You know, like it's obviously great to think that, but also it's great just to be, you know, drafted by a team, because you know like you're wanted, you know.
Yeah.
You're wanted by one team and stuff like that, but I mean it doesn't really limit my future, you know, because I can now, well, I can't choose anyone, but if they can choose, if they want to choose me, I can be chosen by 31 teams, you know. You don't have one girl, so you have 30 girls that you can do.
Yeah, a whole pond, yeah. Whole ocean.
Ocean.
Plenty of fish to pick from. Like a whole, a whole bench.
Whoever gets you is lucky to have you.
Yeah.
That's true. Were you stressed watching it? Like, kind of like wanting to get picked?
Or yeah. Like, yeah, definitely stressed, but I mean, fourth round, I was like, okay, like,
that's pretty.
Yeah, I'm like, not. Oh my gosh! Like,
yeah, I wouldn't. You're not stretched in.
Yeah, like usually fifth, sixth round. I was like, but I was. Yeah, I got pretty lucky there. You know, I didn't have the sweats just yet. So
it's good. Well, it is good for the clout, and these days, clout is super important, right?
No, it's everything. Not important whatsoever. Do not think that at all.
No, don't.
Do not think it's important. It does not matter.
But it's a lot of people think it is. I think it's important. It's not.
Well, mostly our generation kids do think that, and
which is bad.
But at the end of the day, I mean, it's not about the clout, right? It's about clout is gonna come if you work hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you don't really need to focus on clout. You need to focus on, you know.
Don't chase clout. There. Chase your dream.
Yo, it's a quote.
Another quote.
Sometimes
Papa Glass, give me that one.
I can get it going. No, that was me. Just on the spot. But shout out Uncle Glass.
You guys have good genes. Yeah. Motivational genes, dude.
Well, good
he's
genes.
We're not blood related though, but. Me and Mr. Glass are.
Yeah.
We're blood related.
There you go.
Anyway, development camp, right?
Yeah.
That's what we talked. How was the camp? Did you like it? How was you know? Obviously, the first one probably was the most special one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, it's something new to you, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I knew going in there that it was going to be top notch talent, and that's exactly what it was. I mean, I think three or four guys that were there my first year on the team now. Just the kind of thing. Yeah, they have a lot of young players, so just kind of get to know them and seeing the 3-4 year vets, just how they handle themselves. I learned so much. I mean, every time. And so now I'm kind of the vet going in, being my third year last year. So
it's true, huh?
It is. It goes by quick. It went by super quick. But every year again, like the staff and the players just make it so special. And it's just you walk in there and you want to be a sponge. And that's basically with anything you do, but especially being around the pro environment, especially at the NHL level, is like you just want to soak in everything. And then it just makes you want to get there even more. I think
you learn so much in literally that 1 week.
Oh yeah.
Like even every year, like I've been to a few too, and it's just like every year there's something more that you can learn just in that 1 week. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty crazy. That so that's the advice I think we would give anyone who's going. Be a sponge, like you said.
Be
a sponge, absorb.
They always say that. You guys are like sponges.
It's
like
a good goalie term. You don't want to be a trampoline because then it's like rebounds everywhere.
So
bound.
Rebounds are never good. Yeah, you're a literal sponge.
There you go.
That is funny. Should we take a break for beef of the week?
Yeah, let's take a little break. Beef of the week. You know what
beef? Do you know what beef of the week is?
No, I'm vegan.
So. Well, we can. I missed that for a sec.
Well, it's plant-based beef.
It's plant-based beef important. Of the week for you, and for us, it's just quite. It's just our literal beefing. Yeah.
So it's our segment that you basically. It's so not. It's basically. You want to start it because I don't really have one.
You don't
yet.
Have one.
No.
Okay, I'll start mine. But
fans love it.
Yes, it's literally like if you have a problem or a little mini altercation, you exaggerate the hell of it and make it like very dramatic. It's your beef. It's your beef.
That's fair.
Like we'll give an example of past beef. The dude that I ran over a cone, and he was giving me shit because I ran over a cone.
No, but you know what? This is beef. The guy that didn't let us in the. To park the car, remember?
He came all the way.
Yes, he's my beef. He's my beef.
Do you want to start?
Well, even though like it didn't affect me at all because I was still.
Yeah, I guess it affected me.
Okay, let's say I'm gonna explain our beef. So what our beef was, we were driving to the game day, right? We were focusing on games on the saving legs, right?
I know exactly.
And we're driving, and I mean, we just wanna be as close to the door as possible because, as Paul Correa say.
Yeah, wrestling. Don't walk upstairs. Don't walk. If you don't need to walk, don't walk.
Yeah, don't walk. Save your legs for days. Days for games.
He's legit. Yeah.
So we parked our car as close as we could, and this guy, who is he? Well, security guard, I guess.
So we have a strategy, and it's worked the past 3 years for me. This year they've been blocking it off, so we can't even go in the parking lot. So I see that the gate's open. And initially, we thought it was going to be closed, blocked off, so we were going to say that we were NHL scouts.
We actually thought about
the plan. We had a whole plan. And instead, we see the gate open, and I'm like, oh, we'll just go.
We'll just go.
That my strategy is don't look at them.
Yeah.
Wave.
Smile and wave.
But
smile
don't make wave. Eye contact. Yeah, yeah. Just give a little wave and keep going. Then they'll think you're a little, oh, he's good. He's set. Yeah. So we did that. I pull in, and... Then he starts walking towards us. I'm like, quick, go. And I'm like dropping waters everywhere and like trying to run it and run in. He's like, hey, can you move your car back there? And I'm trying to ignore
him. And there was no cars, by the way. Like, there was like...
No one's here. It's Christmas break.
Yeah, nobody's here. It's Christmas break. Just let us save, save our legs. So.
Yeah. I ended up turning back.
Yeah, because, I didn't.
But yeah, because it's my car.
True.
I don't want him to like... Because he seemed like an asshole, to be clear.
He was an asshole.
So he was going to... I didn't want to
because
like,
sometimes
call
when
get
they,
my car towed.
When they talk to us, we can say, hey, like, sorry, like, can we please, like, it's winter break, and some people are understanding of it, but he was just not having it.
I was kind of trying to play dumb, too. I'm like, why? Why should I move it back?
He's got a job to do. No, I'm really
an NHL scout.
So I'm just doing
Pittsburgh
what
Penguins,
I'm told.
Ever heard
I'm
of him?
Doing what I'm told. And when I parked it back there... I started walking back, and he was like, "Hey, thanks, man." I was like, "If I get tired in the third, it's your fault."
True.
Actually,
yeah. Make it personal.
Yeah, I'm like, it's your fault. But yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean, that helped you, or actually, that didn't help you score the third goal in that game.
I probably
would have
had
you probably would have. Whatever, man.
Fucking dweeb. What a loser.
So this is the beef. If you have any it's our segment, and if you want to, it shouldn't even be like a big beef. It could be small beef.
I actually have another
beef. Another beef is, let's say, Dunkin' Donuts. Remember that girl, that lady didn't even look at us in the line, and then we had to like
went go to the drive-thru.
Yeah.
And she served us. That's
no
that's
and. Funny. And before she served it, she said, "Wait a minute."
She goes, "One second, please." And he's like, "What?" He like yelled from the past.
Because there's no line in Alltown in Dunkin' Donuts, and there's no line by the drive-thru. So I don't understand what's "wait a second" mean to you right now.
It was pretty weird.
Yeah,
I got beef.
You have one?
Oh, that's great. That's great.
This is tender. This is good.
It's like, this is great. Yeah, that's been marinating for a while. I should get off my chest.
Yes, this is good.
I shave my face. I got an electric razor.
Yeah.
And I've had troubles with electric razors before. Like,
yeah.
Just, I don't know, just getting my skin irritated or they're really pulling my.
They can be tough down low, too.
Yeah. So, gotta be careful. I don't go electric.
I feel like you need the, what are they called? The shaving gel has to be like, because there are different ones and there's sensitive skin. So you electric, slap it on. And,
you don't usually use.
Oh, true. No, never mind. I don't know electric.
But the electric, you got to be careful. Yeah, it can cause problems, but going.
Yeah, no, it's legit. So, it doesn't say how much battery I have left on mine because it's like a touchscreen thing. It's not a touchscreen, but it's like translucent.
Is that a new iPhone XR?
And it's like, I don't know, if something like wrong, then something like lights up through the screen, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And so it doesn't say anything's wrong. And I haven't charged it in a while because I haven't used it like all break, and then I got back and started shaving. Anyway, I'm getting through, like it's fine, everything's good, like everything's going. And I get to like halfway, 3/4, and then boom, dies. And it's like blinking red. No, blinking red. So
and you have to be somewhere.
No, not necessarily. I didn't have to be anywhere, but like, I mean, it's winter break. Like, we don't have to be anywhere.
Yeah.
And so, although I made some serious sacrifices to come here.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, like what?
Cancel plans?
Yeah, yeah. Cancel
is this plans. Cindy's fault?
This is all Cindy's fault. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, shaving dies. And I'm pissed. Like, this thing has been
obviously.
Fine, yeah. So I got like half a bush on my face and the other half's like shaved. And I'm just like sitting there looking at the mirror. It's like, oh my God, like what if I did that somewhere?
What if it was going to a game and
you were shaving? Can you imagine?
That would be hilarious.
And so yeah, I had to charge it up for like an hour and I just had to sit there in my room just...
That's half, annoying half as hell.
So yeah,
beef on Phillips.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. That's exactly.
Beef on them.
Phillips, dude. Phil? Fucking hate Phil.
Phil's a loser.
Yeah, I know. He should stop making razors.
I have one more beef to discuss. So it was today actually. I was talking with Cindy about getting our guest on for the podcast, and you know Cindy, she making me laugh, shooting the shit. And we were talking, and then finally, we get the guest over, and he comes in. It's Jeremy, by the way. He's our guest. And he comes in, he whatever, puts his stuff down. We show him the stew, we're like, blah, blah, blah. He goes back downstairs. I look on my bed, and there's pistachios on my bed. Now, anyone who knows me knows that
you have the biggest beef with peanut butter.
Well, I'm allergic to nuts.
That's beef.
And peanuts, and they're just sitting on my bed. And then, like, I was in the bathroom, and... by the sink, and he comes popping in and he's eating his pistachios. I'm like, hey, by the way, I'm allergic to those. Like, you're gonna have to wash your hands.
Yeah, it's funny that we're laughing now, but it's not funny at all, especially because of your allergy. So
it's a legume.
I'm gonna have to have Cindy put in the bottom of the emails, by the way, don't bring nuts or peanuts because Pat is allergic to those.
I'd bring my own snacks, right?
No, I mean that's okay too.
As long as those are peanut free pistachios,
yeah,
because that's the thing. Well, actually, they are peanut free because they're nuts,
right?
They're actually different things,
nut free, then.
Yeah, nut and peanut free pistachios. Yeah, but that works. We have a few questions actually for you.
All right, good.
From fans. So
cool.
We'll see. Sorry, it's our ads.
It's
this is Clementine. Those are Clementines. Let me pop in. See if there's some good ones. And a story. Questions. Right. See y'all.
Nice.
Let's see. We'll start from the bottom. We just talked about your path. We talked about youth hockey in Alaska. Yeah, we covered these things.
This has been a great podcast. I've just been flowing.
Yeah, yeah. He says, how does it feel to be the best goalie in college hockey in Cam 88? That's some high. That's a high standard, right there.
Yeah. I don't know if that's so true. I mean, my defense do a lot of that work for me and just make me look good sometimes. So shout out to the defense.
Classy
and forward and forward. Selfless. I know you guys. Selfless. You guys are chipping it out. You're making simple plays.
I'm blocking shots.
Yeah, I know you are. Yeah.
We try.
I already have two blocked on accident this season.
I have a bruise like the size of a dollar bill from you, by the way. It's on the back of my hamstring.
What? That's such a weird comparison. I have a
bruise. But that's what I saw. It's not a circular bruise. It's a rectangle bruise.
Really?
It's absurd.
Huh.
And
is there a face on it? Like
George Washington? No. Yeah, it's got a couple
Lincoln.
Oh,
When did this
This
happen?
Was two practices ago. We were doing a 2-on-1 drill. Just sliding across. And
oh, I scored that shot.
Yeah, scored. I was pissed, too. And I was like, that hurt so bad, and he scored.
It was such a terrible shot, too.
Yeah, I know. And it was just, I was late on it, and I just, like,
you were
like,
so late
snapped
on it, too.
It back, and it was just, like, all hamstring. And I was like, ow.
Yes.
I snowed the shit out of you today.
Yeah.
I saw that.
I was pretty upset.
I didn't mean to, but, like, I saw it.
I snowed you back.
Yeah, you did, kind of. When I was just buzzing the net hard, and I stopped for the puck, and, like, I saw the snow just go all in your face, and I was like, ooh. Sorry.
Yeah, like, I get mad about that, but at the same time, like, I know, like, that's what you're supposed to do. So, like, goalies that are watching this, like, don't get mad at your boys if they're going hard.
Yeah,
like,
accidentally snow, yeah.
If they accidentally
except they shoot at your head. I feel like that's
kind of
thing.
Yeah, I don't think you guys shoot at my head on purpose necessarily, but, like,
yeah.
Sometimes I get smacked in the head. And I'm like, that was absurd. That hurt.
Yeah, that would never be intentional.
Yeah, I know.
Unless
we
have a beef.
Exactly, that's a legit.
Maybe now it might be about the apple pistachio things.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
But yeah.
A couple other ones. See, this guy was saying, how did deals get cut? So, like, we actually nailed some of these questions.
That's dynamite.
Trying.
Yeah.
Favorite goalie?
Favorite goalie, probably Braden Holtby.
Yeah.
Braden Holtby.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's so good.
He's always been good.
So, is that a goalie you're trying to... what is it called? Like, play like, I guess?
Yeah, I definitely try to emulate his game. I mean, I think his mental game is probably one of the best in the league. I mean, I've seen a couple.
That's why we have Doc Wally.
Doc Wally. Yeah,
you're
sure.
A big Doc Wally guy.
I am. Wally and I are pretty close.
I want to do an episode like on mental toughness of in hockey part.
We should get Doc Wally here.
Should
you
we?
Imagine?
Yeah, definitely.
He would love
and have
too.
Him talk?
Yeah.
Actually, that would be kind of cool.
It would be really cool.
I actually want to do that because it's like the underrated... thing that doesn't get like public as much, but it's like so.
I think it's definitely growing now, though. Like guys are coming out with it if they.
Yeah, like it's typically like after, like you see like Carcillo, mm-hmm. like he's one of them. He's talking about it now. It's like after they're done.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Yeah, it's so cool.
It's definitely something you should.
We'll get to that.
You should attack.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Someone said, "What's your version of a perfect date?"
Hiking, baby.
Hiking.
Come hiking.
Wow. Hell yeah!
Come hiking. So get to the mountains. See if. You're an athlete or not?
Test their cardio early.
You're not an athlete.
See if they can
tough.
You're making
the second date.
Yeah, you need athletic kids. I mean, that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah, no, it's
Who painted your mask?
Who painted my mask? Jesse from Jesse Custom Design. This is a new guy this year, and it's dynamite. I love it.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's
I'm really happy with his work. So much detail, a lot of good communication beforehand too. So he was. He's definitely really top notch.
Hell yeah. And More Tink asked that question. And the favorite goalie question was Tommy Enroth. And he's actually, he's a loyal fan.
Yeah, he's a loyal fan of ours.
Yeah.
Love that.
He's a good dude. What hand do you catch with? I feel like, well, it's your left, obviously.
Left hand.
But I feel like he could have just clicked your name and found that out.
That's good.
But Justin Cruz, 207, thank you for the question.
If we want to get a motivational speech, what does it take to become a D1 goalie?
Ooh,
it's a good one. It's a good
one. It's a good one. Who asked that one? What's his name?
HTQI19.
What a good question.
What a great question.
What's it take to be a D1 goalie? I think it's a pretty similar mindset if you're just going to be a Bantam goalie, if you're going to be a pro goalie. Obviously, every level gets more and more detailed, but the bottom line is that you have to be a winner and you got to compete on every play. And that's just kind of my foundation I grew up on. Is like, I'm going to go in there with an attitude of that it's either I'm going to win or nothing else is going to happen kind of thing. So, I mean, it's just like every shot, like I used to do this, like every shot I face, I'm like, I guarantee this wasn't going in. Just quick thing in my head, just knew it wasn't going in. Then does hopefully. A lot. No, I mean it went in a couple times.
Yeah, but that belief goes.
It does.
A long way.
Yeah. And so confidence. It's like you want that confidence, and you don't want to necessarily make it external. You want to keep that internal. But
yeah,
I mean the way you show up to the rink, you want to have confidence in your what you do. Especially, I think preparation's important. And what I've learned, especially coming into college, is the regen aspect of things.
Oh, big.
Is regrouping softball. And softball. I T-ball.
That shit saved me. Yeah,
yeah. We should get saved Matt Murray, by the way.
Yeah, that would be cool, too.
Yeah, it's just the whole
not week. The goalie, but the outer. Yeah. The real one.
Yeah. Photo. The recovery aspect of things is pretty important, too, and just taking care of your body. You don't want to get injured. That's
the earlier you can start on that, the better. For sure.
Exactly, yeah. So I think that's a couple of things you should take into consideration.
That's good. Some good tips there.
Sweet.
Anthony Colangelo said, hardest team to play against in the Hockey East.
Hockey East, I mean, you guys know, like, every team is hard to play.
There's
against.
No easy games.
There's no easy games. Like,
and if it was easy, I would show you how
hard it is. We're past the level of having easy competition. Like, we're all at the same level.
It's going to be hard. Yeah. It's going to be hard.
As coach says.
Team's records don't mean a thing.
Yeah,
you know,
legit.
It's just like any team could beat any team on any given night. I don't know. I think Providence plays a really structured game. They always have. Amherst has obviously stepped up their game since our freshman year. My freshman year. And Eddie's.
Yeah, they've had a crazy turnaround.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think, Northeastern, I hate them. I'll go out in public and say that. Hate them. Hate playing them. But
Neil
Neil.
Loser. Yeah.
Screw you, man. Scoring on me.
That was a bullshit goal, too.
Facts. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't know. It's tough to say, but those probably top three tough teams to play against.
Yeah. I mean, all good teams. We have a question from Ryan Smith 61. He said, how do you train in the off season? Do you ever do MMA or anything?
I mean, I might start.
You never
shout
know,
out to Ronda
right?
Rousey.
Ronda Rousey. Big shout out to her. She's the best. Man.
She's the best.
Hell yeah. Monday night.
Jeremy's personal trainer, by the way.
Ronda. He gets trained special private lessons from Ronda.
Yes.
She's the best.
3 days in a row.
Yeah. Wow, dude, actually. Ronda's crazy.
Get off that topic. All right. Yeah. no, wow. Summers, man, like... I told you earlier in the podcast I do those pro skates, but those are kind of winding down. I mean, Gomez, obviously, he's retired. He's not running those anymore. Guys are kind of getting done with coming back to Alaska, so it's kind of a sad thing to see because, there's really no great on-ice training in Alaska. I mean, I got a goalie coach, Steve Thompson, who's been great for me, and I definitely keep in touch with him year-round, skate with him when I can, but I typically stay away from the rink, to be honest. A lot of hiking, a lot of backpacking, a lot of fishing, stuff like that. Just staying outdoors, kind of recharging everything.
Yeah, that kind of probably sucks because if it's like you want to go home every summer to, like, obviously you miss home. You miss, like, your family, friends there. So it's like, so it's probably kind of, like, sucky that there's not a whole lot of hockey, like, pros or something that you can train with.
For sure.
So, like, do you see yourself, like, eventually not spending summers there, or do you think you'll always, or at least part of
it? Well, probably part of it, right?
Yeah. Like, I think, as long as my parents are living there, I'll go home. But, yeah, it's definitely kind of a reality I have to face pretty soon. That it's just, if I'm going to train on ice, I'm going to have to go somewhere and get some high-quality shots. And that doesn't mean, I can get my work...
Yeah,
without having a coach there too. For sure. that's on me to go in every day and make sure I'm doing what I needed to keep myself in tune.
Yeah,
Alfie's obviously he's been great for me. I mean, he's talking to me off season, just stuff I want to work on if I want to change anything. And again, off season is a great time to do that. So you want to skate as much as you can, but at the same time, you want to stay away from the rink that right amount, so you don't come back like, oh crap,
burnt out.
Yeah.
You need. Well, you should definitely take some time away from the rink right after, for a good amount of time. Mentally, you need that because I think we probably all
even now, even now in Christmas break,
it's
I took
good.
A couple.
Yeah,
I took all days off. You're in Florida. That's Florida.
Shout out to Florida. Yeah,
shout out to Florida. Shout out to my Floridians that I never met. And my family, it was awesome. And I came back and I just have that extra motivation, I guess you can say.
It's good mentally. But like you in the summer too, like you don't need to maybe take, like you can be at the gym and it's still a mental break because it's just a mental break from hockey.
Yeah.
Like you're not like getting out of shape or anything, but it's good to do other things. Like you said, hiking, like that's awesome.
Yeah, but I'm still at the gym too. Yeah. Like I got to throw.
I feel like gym things. And hockey are kind of two different things in that aspect, right? Because gym, it's our basically like, I don't know, like we want to do gym, you know, in the summertime. Mm-hmm. We like to work out. We like to, you know, be fit. So gym, it's kind of like I miss gym right now. I wanna in and pump in like a really good arm.
That's true. I legit miss the pump.
So
man.
There's no way I'll get tired of gym unless I, you know, like after my hockey career, I go every day. You know, try to get big. You know, we don't do gym every day
because we get the hockey season off from the gym a lot. Like what we do are like our in season workouts, but we end up missing it for the springtime.
We get big.
Program. I learned from the best.
You got pretty bulky. That was your freshman year.
That's right. We were.
I have a video.
He was pretty big. Yeah.
Saying, like I have a video of you sitting in a chair flexing. Actually, if it's appropriate, I'll put it on.
But you
were saying that you weighed 204. 204, like flexing at people.
Actually?
Yeah, he was 204. Like what are you now? 195.
Yeah.
Well, now he's vegan ass.
Yeah.
It's that plain weight, man. Oh, yeah. Springtime's a different animal.
He's lean now. Yeah. He's lean.
That's awesome.
But no, springtime is great. Eat your eggs, kids.
Eat your eggs. Bulk and strong.
No eggs.
Vegan, baby. You gotta
stop eating those eggs.
Plant-based eggs.
Discuss further about this vegan thing.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Dude, someone's trying to hit on you. Libsan 6853, she said, are you looking for a girlfriend? Hit me up.
Thanks. It's a good feeling. No, it's
Are you looking for someone?
Whoever your girlfriend is, why did you tell her nickname? She's going to be like...
I'll bleep her out. She wants you, though. She wants it known. She's known.
Are you single currently?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pager 35, actually, I think... We've both met him at the rink, actually, but he said if he has any tip for a high school freshman goalie, which I think you kind of hit when you said how to become like a Division I.
Yeah, it
doesn't really change much.
Yeah. He actually also DM'd us, told Swayman that he gave me a puck against Northeastern and asked me how I was, and I didn't answer. So tell him I'm good.
All right.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys play at BC.
Straight to you, man. Keep it up, man.
I'm pretty sure I met him in Merrimack last year. He's a good kid.
Good.
Young kid, yeah.
Why didn't he answer?
When you asked him how he was?
I don't know.
He was probably nervous, dude. Yeah, you're meeting like your
idol. It's all right.
He's a goalie.
I've been there. I'm nervous right now speaking to Sway, so.
No.
I think that's...
That wraps up. I mean, there are some.
Well, someone said. Someone said, "What are you most likely to play after your college hockey?" And I mean, I think like you can answer it if you want to, but I think like your goal obviously is pretty obvious.
Yeah, no, it's definitely moving up in different levels, but no, the way I like to answer those things is just right now I'm playing Black Bear hockey. That's all I care about. You know what I'm saying?
Like, present mindset.
You love it.
Yeah, it's a present
mindset.
Nothing
better than...
It's actually really important.
Yeah, there's nothing better than that. And man, I love Orono so much, man.
It is.
It's such a great spot.
And I'm in my final semester really now. Yeah. And it's like...
It's sad.
I just want...
Well, Sway is too.
It is sad.
Probably.
No, man, we don't know that. I'm definitely in my final semester as a senior. So, but I think, dude, just... Staying present, like you just said, like being, I'm in Maine, I'm here, is like such an important thing because it's also like the funnest days of our lives. So it's like, don't wish it away. Be present.
Yes. Exactly. That's great. That's so great.
Yeah. And like, if you know, you do what you need to do here, you're going to get to where you want to be.
Yeah. Success is a journey, not a place.
Wow.
Wow.
Look at this guy go.
I don't know.
I don't know where I think of this stuff.
Good is not good enough when better is expected.
Who said that?
Look at that.
I just learned.
You dog.
Dude, I made it up.
That's awesome. That's a good. That's awesome. a good quote.
Yeah, good quote.
Well, yeah, I think that's good for the questions.
We're good.
You have any other questions?
Do you want to talk? I mean, I think we talked about our time here. So I mean,
we got a lot to talk about, so we can do it.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'll be covered.
We can have you back on if we miss.
That would be great, man. I love this stuff.
No, we appreciate you hopping in. I mean, this has been our first official guest.
It's actually so much fun. Just talk to time go by.
Yeah. So I think, like, it was cool to have you on because you have a cool story coming from Alaska, kind of flying under the radar and being a fourth round draft pick eventually. And people would probably could make the assumption that, like, it was kind of an easy path for you if you're a fourth rounder. But, and I mean, now that we had this conversation to see it, you see the adversity that you went through. I think it's cool to put out there. It's a cool little story.
Appreciate that.
It is.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to be pumping out these episodes now. This is our second one already.
Yeah, second one, first with a guest, and it's so much fun. So we'll see. Maybe we'll just keep going
we'll just keep pumping them.
Yeah. Until we just can't anymore.
we can't pump anymore.
Because it's always about pumping. So
yeah, hell yeah. So we'll catch you guys next time on Behind the Cage. Bye.